Then next Sunday, we would love for you to bring those books here to the church. We're going to gather them up, and they'll be used for that camp. So bring kids' books next Sunday. And I think there's more details on the website, what ages they're looking for and all that. But bring that. And then also, they're also in need of volunteers for that week, August 7th through the 11th. So if you are available that week, if you have some time, if you're, I guess it's for people that are over 18, if you have some time to offer, they would greatly appreciate it. I think they had a missions team that had committed from outside New York, is now unable to bring the full team. So they're sort of scrambling to fill some volunteer needs. So if you have that available, that would be great. Also, every summer we participate and serve at the Canva Men's Respite Shelter that Old First hosts. And so our week is July 31st through August 4th, the 31st through the 4th. So please mark your calendars. There'll be more information as we get closer to that date. Obviously, we need men to stay the night, but there's ways that families and everyone can participate in that ministry during that week. So just mark your calendars, and if you're in town, we would love for you to join us. Okay, we have a very special guest this week, and I want to welcome Andy Warren, who is the director and founder of the Ethiopia ACTS Project, AIDS Care and Treatment. I first heard about what the Ethiopia ACTS Project, I think in 2005, when I took John Sweet, who was at the time an intern at this church, this is many, many years ago, to the airport. I took him to JFK, and all we both kind of knew is that he was going to Ethiopia. And I remember driving with him and going, so what are you doing, John? And he didn't quite know, and I didn't know. But he was going to explore and kind of introduce the church to Andy and the great work that he had begun. And so from that first trip has blossomed this great partnership and relationship we've had with Andy and all the folks who do the great work. So Andy started this ministry and his wife Bev in 2002 when the AIDS crisis was at its peak in Addis, Ethiopia. And from there, they started basically with hospice care and trying to reach and care for the most vulnerable in Addis. And from there, this ministry has grown in some unbelievable ways. And so now they're doing public health, and they're caring for youth and families and church planting now. And so it's been a joy to watch this this ministry just grow and blossom in Ethiopia. And I'm really glad that Andy is here because we have sent a team, I think every year in conjunction with a few other churches, one in Baltimore, we've sent a team I think every year since 2005 or 2006, but we weren't able to do it in February of this past year. That's why you probably haven't heard a lot about Ethiopia because of some of the political climate that was going on there at the time. And so we hope and anticipate that we'll be able to send another team this February. And so when we get back in, from the summer and begin September, October, you're going to be hearing more about that. But this is a great opportunity to keep Ethiopia in front of us. This is our main global missions partner. This is who we partner with and who we serve alongside of. So Andy, please come forward and give us an update and share with us.
Thanks, Chris. Good morning. It's really great to be with all of you here in Park Slope and to be back in Brooklyn. First, I'd like to bring you greetings from my wife, Bev. Some of you have met Bev and know her. Bev is in Boston right now with our oldest daughter who just had a baby. So that's my third granddaughter, my third grandchild. So we've been really excited about that and thankful that we could be in the States and be part of that. So that's where Bev is, and she sends her greetings to all of you. This is a kind of a difficult group for me to come and talk to and know quite what to say, because I know that a lot of you are really familiar with the ACT Project and with our ministry there, and a number of you have been there and worked with us and seen firsthand what's going on. I know that a lot of you, though, don't really know anything at all about it. So it's a little difficult. I don't want to bore the ones who already know everything, and I don't want to leave the others in the dark and confuse you if you don't. So I'll add just a little bit to what Chris has already told you about who we are and what we do. and then try and tell a little bit about what God's doing right now and what's happening and where we're hoping and praying that, that things will go in the future. Like Chris said, we started in 2002. I had been a missionary in Africa for almost 20 years, had been in Ethiopia for about 6 years, and it was the height of the HIV/AIDS crisis. And as we looked around to see what was happening and what different groups were doing, we noticed that there was one big gap. And that gap was in actually caring for people that were sick and dying with AIDS. There were a lot of people doing AIDS prevention and education, but nobody that we could find that was actually trying to care for the people that were dying. And this was before there was treatment. So it was really, as Chris said, hospice or palliative care. And we started as a project of two other organizations, Mission to the World, the Presbyterian Church in America's mission agency, and SIM, the agency that we partnered with in Ethiopia. And we started with the goal to just love and care for as best we could these people that were dying. And over the last 15 years of doing this, God has blessed in lots of different ways. We've been able to grow, to care for more families. We've gotten better at what we do. We've gotten more professional at it. We've been able to build a really amazing team of Ethiopians, and these are project managers, social workers, and nurses. And they're the people who really do the work. They're the ones who day-to-day are in the community, actually caring for people and ministering to people. And over these 15 years, we've been able to care for more than 1,500 families up until today. And one of the best things that we've done that's been a critical part of this has been having medical teams. And this is where you guys, Park Slope, the Brooklyn churches, and lots of other churches have been a really key part of what's happened. Teams have helped us to provide quality medical care for the people in our communities. They've trained us. They've taught us how to do a better job. They've helped us build connections in the community and with the government and given us credibility. They've also been one of the most effective things that we've done in terms of spiritual ministry. Oftentimes when medical teams come and people from the community come into the clinic and sit down with a doctor, it may be the first time in their life that a medical person has actually touched them, actually taken a stethoscope and put it on their chest and listened to them, actually sat and listened to them and heard what they had to say. And this has a profound impact on people. And we see more people respond to the gospel and are open spiritually because of the medical teams than anything else that we do. And that brings me to one of the other things that Chris has already mentioned. And it's the part that you guys have played in the history and the impact of the ACT Project. Like Chris said, you guys have been coming for many years. You've been an important part of the teams and have come, I think, nearly every February. Yep. For at least a decade, partnering with the Baltimore churches, my brother Paul, his church, Abbott Memorial, in Baltimore. And so I think most of you know that, as Chris said, that we had to cancel the team this last February, along with nearly all of our teams for the last 6 months or so. And that the reason we did that was because of the political unrest and the protest and violence that were happening in Ethiopia. In October last year, the Ethiopian government instituted a state of emergency for 6 months, and the U.S. State Department put out a very strong travel warning. There were a number of deaths, including one American woman who died in the violence. And so this shut down all of our teams. This has been a hard year in a lot of ways in Ethiopia. It started about a year ago as the government started tearing down some of the slum communities, including one where we were starting to plant our second church. And it ended just a few months ago when there was a major landslide at a dump in Addis Ababa where more than 150 people died. And then with all the political unrest and the people that died in that, it's been a very, very difficult year in Ethiopia. Fortunately, Ethiopia seems to have returned to its more normal state. Bev and I left Ethiopia in October just as things were really kind of at their worst. We stayed away through the rest of the year, but when we returned in January, we were amazed at how normal things had become again and how things had returned to peace. It was almost eerie. It was so normal. So we did start trying to reschedule teams and had a team come in March. And we're looking forward to having more teams. We have a team coming in just the next couple of weeks, and we're starting to really work on planning our team for Baltimore and Brooklyn. So I hope a lot of you will consider joining that team this next year. Some other big changes in the project include our registration is our own organization. We're no longer under SIM and MTW's legal umbrella. We're a 501c3 in the U.S. We're a registered charity in Ethiopia. And this has lots of advantages for us in terms of our work and our finances. It saves us a lot of money on our administrative charges. Another great thing that's happened in the project has been our first church plant that happened in the last few years in the Suki community. And I know some of you have visited there. It's still small, but it's growing. It's only about 20 adults and 70 or 80 children on a typical Sunday. But we're seeing encouraging signs in the community. But one of the interesting things that happened that we had feared and sort of anticipated was that one of the challenges of growing a church like this is that the community has come to think of us as the AIDS church. And there's a lot of stigma connected with attending church with us. And so we've really been thinking and praying and talking about how we could change this and how we could become a church and a ministry for the whole community where we work. And so we've done several things. One of the things that we found was there were a large number of malnourished kids in the community. And so we started reaching out, taking care of, and helping support these families where the children were malnourished. One of the other big problems in the community was clean water, and we partnered with the government and with the community to install water lines and tanks and water purification so that we're providing clean water for the whole Suki community. We've also reached out beyond just the HIV/AIDS population, and we're caring for more and more families that don't have anyone in the family that's HIV positive. Right now we have about 420 families in the project. And 120 of those families, there's not anyone in the family that's HIV positive. They're still extremely poor. They have serious health problems. But we're trying to show the community that we are caring for the whole community. So where are we going? And how can you be involved? We want to serve more people. We want to serve more communities other than just Suki. We have started expanding out of the Suki community and are starting to survey several other new communities. We're looking for a place that has the right combination of physical needs, poverty, and poor health, and also spiritual needs, where there are no churches or strong ministries already involved. Some things we'd like you to pray for with us for this next year. Pray for peace and for justice in Ethiopia. It's more peaceful now, but the underlying problems have not been resolved. Pray for the Suki Church, especially for leadership, strong leadership for that church. Pray for wisdom for us as we try and grow, especially for our Ethiopian leadership, because they're the ones who are making the decisions and leading this work now. Pray for our government relations. We have an important meeting coming up tomorrow that I'd really appreciate your prayers for. We always want to have our medical people credentialed, and we're running into some problems with that. And there's a government committee meeting tomorrow morning that's supposed to make a ruling on whether we're going to be able to continue licensing the medical people who come on our teams. And then I just like to close by, again, saying thank you. You guys have been some of our most faithful, generous, consistent partners. And we could not do what we do. We could not be in Ethiopia. We could not care for the families that we care for without your partnership and your help. And we love and appreciate you more than we can really tell you. Thank you.
Let me also encourage you that I know that many of you would love to talk to Andy and have lots of questions, and I want to encourage you to do that. But if we could, after the service, if you're interested in talking more, we're going to go downstairs in the air conditioning and get some coffee, and we'll do a kind of roundtable or Q&A in one of the rooms downstairs. So stick around. I'd love for you all, whether you have interest in going to Ethiopia in the near future, whether you've been or whether you just want to hear more, let's take advantage of the fact that Andy is here with us. So we'll go downstairs after the service and have save your questions for them, because I think we would all benefit from listening to them. Okay. We are so glad that you are here, and we are going to continue worshiping in song. And at this time, children are dismissed.